Been thinking about this subject for quite a while now, and I think I just need to give an explanation. There's been a message or messages on my heart for a while. It's to do with the power of God, and we ministered a while ago on the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives, and then we moved through into different areas, but it's all the same theme, the power of God. And I've been a Christian now for probably 34 years, been in ministry in the sense of had the privilege of sharing from a platform for, say, nearly 20 years. And there's things that I've seen and things that I've experienced, and the same for you as Christians. Regardless to how long you've been a Christian, you would have witnessed the good, the bad, and the not so good, or should we say the ugly. Because we are people, we are vessels, and sometimes we crack and sometimes we become disobedient. And I've been looking at the area of the power of God. And for us as a church, what I wanted us to do is just think again about what God has said through his word and what he said to you and what he said to me. And I just want to give some thoughts, because so often in my life, when I was a young Christian, whenever we spoke about the power of God, it would be electricity, it would be Pentecost. And normally you would have a charismatic individual at the front, and they're really good at articulating and stirring up faith. And there's nothing wrong with that, is there? It's good to have our faith stirred up. And I've witnessed the good, and I've witnessed the ugly. And I've looked at God's word, and there's things that the Lord has said to me that's not come to pass yet. And there's things that he said to you that have not come to pass yet. But you know that God has spoken. You've witnessed the power of God healing someone. I'm sure you have in your life. I have in mine. I've witnessed the power of God coming over the demonic and the enemy fleeing. I've witnessed the power of God's grace, the power of God's love, the power of his justice. And so I want to today talk about the power of a quiet life. Because when we think about power, we don't think about that. Well, I don't think we do anyway. So I want to give you some thoughts. I just want to read this portion of scripture first. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Paul's talking here about loving one another. And he says, you do, you love each other, you love those around you, but make it your mission to lead a quiet life. You should, this is not my words, okay? You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. And something that has really resonated with me just recently. Now, I struggle being quiet. I struggle not doing anything. I'll sit down, I'll go, right, I'll have a time of quiet, and then I'll go, well, the grass need cutting, the fence need mending. And I make excuses and go, well, I can have my quiet time while I'm mending the fence and while I'm cutting the grass. So I struggle with quietness. But it's not about just being silent. It's about daily life. And I want to suggest that that you, as well as I, we miss the fact of the power of God working for our everyday lives. When we look at power, when we think about power, we can think about the man, the woman on the stage preaching and proclaiming God's dunamis, the power of God, and praying and believing for signs and miracles. But we forget the power that we walk in our everyday lives. The power when we pick up someone else's £5 notice, they've dropped it and give it back to them. The power, I mentioned this a while ago, I went to Screwfix the other day, and I bought a saw blade, and there was two blades stuck together. And I got home, and my first thought was, happy days, I have two for the price of one. Then conviction came, and I thought, no, I need to take it back. And as I took it back, the lady looked at me, and she said, so you're bringing this back? We gave you too many, and you're bringing it back. Wow, we don't get much of that. There's power in quietness. Just our everyday. Just the fact that someone will see us, and they say, you're a Christian, and they've witnessed something in our lives. Now, do we get it right all the time? No, we don't. Well, I don't anyway. But there is power in our everyday lives. You know, when we build our lives upon the experience, then if we don't get the experience, we leave church feeling sad. Ah, the worship wasn't what I'm used to. The message wasn't anointed. Wasn't anointed. The worship wasn't what we're used to. Listen, is it the word of God being proclaimed? Yes. Well, the worship is anointed. The word is anointed because it's not about us. It's about him. So if we are just used to the loud and the vibrant, and there's nothing wrong with that because I like loud and I like vibrant, we miss the power of the quietness. We miss the power. I remember a man saying to me once that he struggled when he first got married because his wife always left the drawer open. Always left the drawer open. And he used to go mad until suddenly he thought, well, I'll just close it. So we'd walk past and just close it. See, there's power in everyday quietness. There's power in just closing the drawer instead of getting upset about it. There's power about doing the same things over and over and over again. There's power in coming to church when we don't feel like it. There's power praying when we don't feel like praying. There's power in giving when we don't feel like giving. There's power in forgiving when we don't feel like forgiving. There's power in our everyday lives. And for us to do justice to the dynamis of the Holy Spirit, I think we need to understand everything. A thought came to me this morning when I was cleaning my teeth, as it normally does. I still have some. And it was the illustration of the mighty men and women of God. Samson, scripture says, and when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, this supernatural strength. And the picture that I conjured up was, yeah, we know the story about Samson, mighty man. He fell, he went into sin, and then eventually he ended up being more victorious in his death than he ever was in his life. But what struck me was this: without the Spirit of God in that dunamis, he was an ordinary man doing ordinary things. Now, if we don't walk out the ordinary, we won't witness the extraordinary. And one of the things I want us to know as a church is that we have the Spirit of God in us. Now, I'm a relatively quiet man. Now, I have a loud voice, but I'm a quiet individual. I don't like crowds in the natural. I'm not always confident in the natural. But I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I know that one of the things that I've struggled with over the years is trying to be who God's called me to be rather than what other people think I should be. And that's what happens to us sometimes. We can go to a service, a meeting. We can be in the presence of other Christians and think that we need to perform. Well, we don't. We just need to be us because there is power in a quiet life. And as we walk through God's word, as we walk through who we are and what he says, he's in Mark 6 verse 30, I'll start at. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And so often this is something that we can do when we get around Christians. You know, there was a film I watched some years ago, and there was a man and a woman, and she said, yeah, but I've got this scar. And he went, you think that's a scar? Look at this scar. And then they go for all the scars that they've got to see who had the biggest scars in their lives. Well, sometimes we can do that as Christians. Well, I prayed for a whole 10 minutes. Well, I prayed for 20. Well, I prayed for 30. Doesn't matter, does it? As long as you do what God calls you to do and I do what God calls me to do. But they reported everything they'd done and all they'd taught. Then there were so many people coming around that heard about this ministry of Jesus that they did not have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place to get some rest. And there are times where we need to rest. There are those that have been working in the kingdom for a long time, and it's your time to get some rest. There's those that are just working and exhausted. It's your time to get some rest. But I want to read on and bring a point out of this. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. When the multitude saw they were going, they followed them. So Jesus wants his disciples to get some rest, and there's times where we will have that opportunity to be somewhere, to go on holiday, or just have a time of rest. But we should always be prepared to serve. And when we look through this portion of scripture, it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And even though as Christians, we need to recognize power in quietness, we also need to be prepared. Just as if we can imagine that the Holy Spirit is in us, and when we open our mouths, he flows out of us. Well, it's the same when we see a need, we have compassion. And Jesus said something to his disciples that I want to bring out. He said, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And then they start to complain because they'd never had enough money to buy enough food. And where would they get it from anyway? And the thing that I want to bring out here about the power of a quiet life is if we acknowledge what God says, then if we haven't got it, we can't give it. If we don't have peace in our lives, we can't give peace. Peace like a river. It's not this tranquil, everything is serene. It's the fact that we know who we are, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, that we know that we have that dunamis inside us. We choose not to operate in certain ways. We choose not to say certain things. Why? Because God says now is not the time. But when we see a need, even though we are people who are supposed to rest, then that power can come out, that we can meet that need, we can show that compassion. How many times have you felt exhausted and you've gone to a coffee shop and you've met someone and you've made the fatal mistake of saying, so how are you? And they go, well, you know, so often we say that, but we don't really mean that. So how are you? And we don't want to hear what other people have to say. And then they don't share because they don't believe that you want to listen. But if you've lived a quiet life, if you've lived a life of faithfulness, then there will be people who know that they can trust you. People who know that they can rely upon you. So that they can share and say, well, actually, I'm struggling. I've just lost someone dear to me and I'm struggling. I'm a Christian, yet I know I should trust God, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling with my children. I'm struggling with my partner. You know, there's power in a quiet life because people watch. You may not know. Is it true that God knows all? Well, you don't need to prove to me then that you're doing something. I don't need to prove to you God knows. He knows your heart. He knows your quiet time. He knows when you pray. He knows what's going on in your life. And at the right time, he'll bring the right people. But there's power in everyday living. When I was a young Christian, and this is why I'm bringing this whole message on power, because I do believe in the power of God, in the dunamis of God. I do believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. I do believe that he can raise the dead, that he can cleanse the leper. I believe all of that. But I don't live in that sense looking for it, chasing for it. I know that Christ is in me and he's in you. So when the time comes that I need to be a man of authority, I can speak with authority. When I need to be a man of compassion, I can show compassion. Why? Because the Christ that we're talking about lives in us. But never underestimate the power of a quiet life. How many times, well, I've heard this anyway, how many times I've heard people say, well, you know, I just do this. And I just do that. Because they don't see the power they have because they've been looking at the platform. They've been going, this man, this woman, they have a mighty ministry. They're on YouTube. They're on festival after festival. Thousands of people come and hear them. Well, they don't have no more power than you do, except if God has equipped them to preach, they will preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But you still have power in the everyday. So I want us to be encouraged. As I look at this whole subject, I want us to be encouraged. Psalm 91, verse 1, it says this, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. See, the question and the answer is given when we take the time to look at God's word. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So when we're going through tough times, we can say, as the psalmist did, I rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. See, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You know, when I was 30 years old and I put my hand up, I decided to follow Jesus. Do you know, for me, I never had any experience. I never had a it's you moment. I never had a shake, a shudder, a rattle, a roll. I just made a decision that I would follow Jesus. And I was told to just have faith and believe that God will mark out my journey. And as I started to walk this walk, then conviction came. Then I understood this journey. But I made Him my refuge. I have decided. And that's what we need to do, is make that decision and walk in it. But don't estimate the power of the everyday life. It is not this kind of fasting I have chosen. When I was there again, I'm using my history as a Christian. I would be encouraged to fast and to pray and to seek. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all. It's good to fast as long as there's a purpose to it. But also we forget the other things in life when the Lord says this. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of the unjust, of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, and to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer with shelter? You see, we can be super spiritual Christians. We can pray, we can fast, we can give, we can work in the church. But if we do not have compassion on those that are around us, then why do we do all the other things? You see, it's the everyday life where power comes. Yes, it's good to be in that meeting where there's like electricity running through your body and you go, do you know what? I'm with other Christians who believe the same as me, and there's something electric happening here and Lord is speaking to me. But have you also been in their meetings where you've been surrounded by men and women who have manifested around you, and then the next day they're as miserable as they were the night before? Now, I'm not being unkind, but I have seen that. And so it's made me wonder what was happening. What was happening? And yet we miss the everyday obedience of those that just turn up week after week, continue to press in week after week, to forgive week after week, to give week after week, to supply the needs of others week after week, to have coffee with a stranger, to smile at those that others don't smile at. We miss the power because we think sometimes that that is the power. But the power is Him in us, the hope of glory. And so I just want to encourage us and challenge us to see that God is at work in you and through you. And it's in our everyday that we can so often miss the power. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So this suggests that there are those that have become weary in well-doing, and they have given up. Well, those that haven't given up, well done, good and faithful servant. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. You know, it's okay to encourage one another. This is just an observation, and I don't know if there's a lot of truth in this, but there's an element of truth in it. I've met many Christians who have no problem being generous to strangers in another nation that they do not know. They have no problem being generous to charities they have nothing much to do with, but they struggle with showing compassion to another Christian that just lives next door. They struggle with giving to another Christian that lives down the road. See, the Bible says, be generous people, but be good to one another. Be kind to one another. When you see someone struggling, saying, I'll come and do that for you. You can't reach that? Well, nor can I. I'll send Nigel. You need someone tall. I'll do that for you. We miss the power in the everyday. We miss the power when we say, I must get home to help my elderly parent. We miss the power in that. Because there's something rich about that heart of compassion and that sense of duty and kindness to your own family. What good is it? It's just me speaking out, and if this offends anyone, well, what's the point of being in church and being kind to someone in church, and then you can't be kind to the elderly person that you've just left at home? To that mother, to that father, to that grandfather. I remember as an 8-year-old boy or 7-year-old boy, I used to get upset with my older brother because he would make fun of my granddad. And as a 7-year-old boy, I did not like that because my granddad was a great granddad. He was a lovely man. He had fought in the war so that I could have my freedom, although I didn't understand it as a 7-year-old. But there was something within me that did not like the fact that my grandfather was being ridiculed by my brother, my older brother. So if we can get upset when strangers are ridiculed, how much more our own family? We miss the power of that, is what I'm trying to say. We miss the power of caring for those that are close to us. We miss the power of the mundane. All I do is I just make tea, I make breakfast, I do housework, I do chores. We miss the power in the everyday. We miss the power of a quiet life. Yes, there will be times where we can see the dynamis of God work in a certain way, but I suggest if we just chase that, we will come up empty. But if we live a life of mundaneness, of righteousness, of saying, you've just dropped a £5 note, you gave me one too many. I've been into a garage one day and I got £10 worth of petrol and I gave them £10, I gave them £20 and they gave me change and they gave me £20 back. And I said, excuse me, you've made a mistake. And the lady said, no, I haven't. I said, you have. No, I haven't. I said, you've given me £10 too much. I've made a mistake, thank you. It would have come out of my wages. They're not used to it, are they? Because she thought I was going to say, you've shortchanged me. You see, there's power in the quiet life. In James 4, it says his, but he gives grace. He gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So there again, there's a question, there's an answer. How do we resist the devil? We submit to God. Lord, this is my life. These are my ways. God wants us to be humble. He wants us to be his children doing his work. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He wants us to be single-minded. He wants us to be whole-hearted, not half-hearted. So as we look through scripture, we will be challenged. Why? How do I know that? Because scripture says so. In Matthew 5:5, it talks about this, blessed are the meek. Now, when I first read this, I misunderstood what meekness meant. So I did a search on meekness, and what I found was this, and I hope that if you do a search on meekness, you will find this too. You see, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is, let me put it in, power under control. If you imagine you've got this mighty stallion, this horse, this beast of an animal, full of power, muscle and sinew. Are you getting the idea? And there's a little tiny bit in its mouth and you just control it. You've got all this power under control. You're a pilot in an aircraft and you've got this mighty jumbo jet and yet there's just this small steering wheel or whatever they call it. See, power under control is meekness. It means we can, but we choose not to. We could retaliate, but we choose not to. Now, does that mean, let me clarify, that we are doormats? I don't believe we are. We are to stand up for ourselves and not allow others to push us around. But when it comes to being right, we don't always have to be. We can choose to just walk away. You see, there's power in control. Many people who study martial arts and they're good at their craft, they don't fight because they don't have to, because they allow that power to be under control. If they was out of control, they would certainly be a danger to others. But it's being meek with what God has given us. You see, we have a power within inside us. I have the ability. When I was younger, it used to terrify me if I ever got into an altercation. I never liked fights. In fact, I think I've had one fight in my life, and I've been hit once, well, twice in my life. The first time I had a fight, ended up with a split lip. The second time I was walking home and someone just hit me and just knocked me against the wall, and I just slid down in slow motion. And then I learned to fight with my mouth, not with my fists. And I can talk myself out of most things. But it's not because I'm weak. It's because I'm meek. It's because I know the power that God's given me, but I allow it to be under control. So do not underestimate the everyday. Do not underestimate the mundane, because I guarantee if you know who you are and you know that the same power that raised Jesus lives in you, if the time ever comes where you have to squarely look evil in the eyes, you will be able to do it. Why? Because at the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak and speak in authority. But most of the time, we don't need to go there. We just walk by. Why? Because we are meek individuals. We have power under control. So I want to encourage us, as I said, as we look through his scripture, and in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says this. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." There's times where it's okay to be still and know. To be still and know. I remember when I first went to Uganda and I got out of the minibus early. And those that know, I don't... directions. I didn't know where I was going, but I thought, oh, it's just down this road. I ended up walking and walking, looking for a school. I found a school. The Catholic school that was about 4 miles that way where our school was. And I just had to stop and go, "Lord, help me. Be still and know that I am God." And you know what? It was a case of, okay, turn around and go back the way you came. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That shows us that not only do we take hold of the armor of God, he's also our rear guard. He has your back. Let's not underestimate the power of a quiet life. One more scripture. It's in 1 Peter 3, verse 4. Rather, it should be that of your inner self. Your unfading beauty. This portion of scripture is talking about the way men and women conduct themselves. And it just says, how you adorn yourself to others, how you adorn yourself to the Lord, is the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of greater worth in God's sight. There are times where we will have to stand and fight, not physically. Well, maybe physically, but certainly spiritually. I was in the Czech Republic with Ken Stroud some years ago as a bag carrier. And a young Christian. And we was in this church meeting. And we're all adults here, so I can share this. There was a lot of occult witchcraft going on. And we were all oblivious to it. We didn't know what was going on. And there was child sacrifice. You know what I mean when I say child sacrifice. There was a graveyard just down the road, and there was so much occult going on. And a man stood up who was with us, and he was going to fast for 40 days, and he was into 30 days into his fast. And he just stood up and he said, "Pray, pray." And Val Stroud was going to preach, and he said, "Just pray protection over Val." And I didn't know what to do. I wasn't this confident Christian, but I stood up and I just opened my arms and I started to pray in tongues. And I kid you not, about 30 young people teenagers, children just ran out of the back door. See, they were steeped in the occult. But I didn't need to shout and holler. I just needed to speak his word. Lord, come. Lord, help. Lord, bring your protection. You see, at the overflow of the heart. So I want to encourage us, as I bring this to a close, to understand that, yes, there is a dunamis. But that dunamis doesn't always manifest in the spectacular. It manifests at times so often in the ordinary. See, if you have a church of, if you go to a meeting, a celebration, a healing service, a deliverance service, whatever it may be, and there's 1,000 believers there, and you have a worship band of 20, 30 musicians all singing at the top of their voices, there is such an atmosphere, isn't there? But there's only a handful of people that will speak. But the rest of us have the same ability, have the same opportunity to see God's power at work. But we don't always recognize it. So I want to close in prayer as I pray for myself and for us as we look through this message on power. And I want us to get to that point where we understand there is a dunamis. There is a signs, a wonder, a miracle. There is times in our life where we will have an opportunity to pray for the sick and see them recover. There'll be an opportunity that we pray with a sinner and they'll find salvation. There'll be a time where we'll come to church and people will get up off their sick bed. But let's not lose sight of the everyday, of the training ground. Elisha spent years carrying the bags of Elijah before he walked in the mantle. There will be a now time for each one of us. But in the meantime, let's look at who we are. Let's believe that everything we do is for a purpose. Whether we make breakfast for someone else, we get the shopping for a neighbor, we pick up someone who has no car and we bring them to a meeting. Whether we pray for people, whether we give finances to others, there is power in the everyday. There's power in a quiet life. So Lord, I pray that you would give us a fresh revelation of your grace, a fresh revelation of your fast, a fresh revelation of who we are and what you've called us to be, that we will not underestimate the power that's within each one of us as we come together as a corporate body in the everydayness of Sunday by Sunday, Monday to Sunday, as we take care of the everyday appointments at hospitals, appointments at schools, appointments in the workplace, the everyday witness to everyday ordinary people. Let's not lose sight of the power that's displayed through our meekness, through our ability to be controlled, our ability to have compassion, our ability to stand up in the face of adversity and say, no, this is unjust. Father God, speak to us afresh, equip us afresh, so that we may be all that you've called us to be. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's worship the Lord.